Welcome to our Bible study segment, and we've got Beth Seifert here with today's Bible lesson in 1 Samuel. So open your Bibles there if you have them, and remember, all of these segments are recorded and saved, archived in our Bible studies archives. You can download the study guides that go with each one of these and have your own Bible study with your ladies around your own kitchen table, and we just welcome Beth Seifert. Thanks for joining us, Beth.
Hey, Amy. Well, today we're going to be looking at 1 Samuel chapter 23, verses 14 through 18. Just a handful of verses here, but there's a lot in them. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 14 through 18. And David remained in the strongholds in the wilderness, in the hill country of the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God did not give him into his hand. David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life. David was in the wilderness of Ziph at Horesh. And Jonathan, Saul's son, rose and went to David at Horesh and strengthened his hand in God. And he said to him, "Do not fear, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Saul my father also knows this." And the two of them made a covenant before the Lord. David remained at Horesh, and Jonathan went home. Now, I stopped after these few verses today because I want to focus on the main aspect of these verses, of David and Jonathan. Now, verse 14 tells us here that Saul is hunting feverishly for David. Day after day, he's on the trail, trying to find David to kill him. But God is protecting David. Guess who is able to find David? Jonathan. That kind of makes me giggle. It reminds me of those Hollywood movies where the rebel hero is hiding out and the bad guys never seem to be able to find him, but pretty much anyone else can wander on into the rebel camp any time. Yet God was protecting David from Saul, so Saul was not going to be able to find him. God was also aware of what David needed to strengthen him, and so he sent Jonathan to help. I love verse 16. Jonathan helped David by pointing him back to God for his strength. Oh, this has so many layers to it. God sent Jonathan to David just when David needed him. And God knew when David would need him and provided this friend in perfect timing. Jonathan saw his friend's struggle and encouraged him. Jonathan didn't encourage David to do it on his own. This wasn't a, "You slew Goliath, you can hide from my dad, you rock, you can do it," kind of a pep talk. This was a, "God helped you kill Goliath. God has chosen you to be king over Israel. Things are tough right now, but trust God to protect you and take care of you and give you the strength you need to persevere. He is faithful and will care for you." Kind of a pep talk. In short, this is the kind of pep talk we should all be giving and receiving. We need that constant reminder that it isn't through our own strength that we overcome the obstacles in our path. It is with His strength. There is nothing that we can't overcome if it is within His will when we rely on His strength, not our own. God never intended for us to do anything on our own. His intention is for us to rely on Him to help us through our struggle. He's always there for us. One last time we see Jonathan's selflessness. We see him telling David that he is sure that David will become king, and he says this without any malice or jealousy. And Jonathan gives David some insight into Saul's anger, too. Saul knows that David will be king after him. That is why Saul is mad. Saul knows that David will become king, and Saul is trying to thwart God. Saul won't succeed, not because David's so amazing, but because no man is going to thwart God's plan. Jonathan and David renew their covenant one last time, and then Jonathan returns home. This is the last recorded meeting of Jonathan and David in the Bible. It's obvious from Jonathan's words that they didn't expect this to be the last meeting between the two of them. Still, when David looks back on this last meeting, what a blessing this is for him. He can look back and see his dear friend, who was as true and loyal and honest and caring and forthright on that day as he had always been. Jonathan came to David and encouraged him and reminded him where his strength came from. David can look back on that final meeting when he grieves for and misses his friend, and he can remember what that meeting was about. Every time he grieves for Jonathan and remembers this last meeting, he will remember that Jonathan was encouraging him to trust in God. And I guarantee that helped David when he was grieving too. Jonathan wasn't afraid of death. We saw that when he fought the Philistines. Jonathan's heart was focused on God, and David knows that too. So while this is the last recorded time the two friends meet on earth, I doubt that this is the last time the two friends ever met. And there's so much we can learn from watching David and Jonathan and their friendship. They were the absolute best of friends, but not in the way that we see today. It wasn't a shallow friendship. It wasn't a fair-weather friendship either. They truly were best friends. They cared about each other, but they weren't codependent. And the love that they had and their friendship for each other wasn't self-serving. They genuinely cared about each other enough to come to them with the hard stuff instead of letting that stuff fester and cause resentment. David came to Jonathan with the information that Saul was trying to kill him. Jonathan listened to his friend and took him seriously. He didn't like that information, but he didn't react to it. He considered it and pondered it, and then he acted on it. Jonathan comes to David here to encourage David and exhort him to do what God wants him to do. Throughout their friendship, from the glimpses that we see in the Bible, we see Jonathan's continued selflessness. From providing for David's clothing to be in the court with Saul, to protecting David from Saul's first deadly plot, to helping David escape Saul's court altogether, we continually see Jonathan with a delightful lack of me-itis. Jonathan wants God's will to be done. He can discern who the better king will be, and Jonathan doesn't covet that position. He doesn't ask, why not me? He continues to help prepare David for the kingship in his actions too. Coming to David here, while David is running and in the wilderness, not to lure David out of hiding, but to encourage David to continue to do exactly what he's been doing, was not without risk for Jonathan. We've seen Saul's insane anger and jealousy. What would that look like if Jonathan was discovered to have willingly gone over to David to encourage David not to kill him? Jonathan truly was taking a great risk here to his safety and well-being, but he still went ahead, not even to bring weapons or provisions to David, but just to encourage him. We have the opportunity to honor God in our relationships in amazing ways. There are so many traps we can fall into that tear apart our relationships instead of building them up. We can rely too heavily on our friends, expecting them to save us. Or we can build walls between ourselves and others, never letting them in for fear of being hurt. Relationships are important, especially to women. We were created to be in relationship from the very first. Remember, Eve was created to come alongside Adam as he worked in the garden. She was created specifically to be in relationship. Those relationships matter. They aren't easy. They take work. But when we build our relationships on Him, when we have healthy boundaries but not walls, when we don't have unrealistic expectations of our friends, when we genuinely care for our friends and their relationships with Christ, when our goal is to come alongside each other and exhort each other to finish well, we give glory to the only one worthy of glory, to God. So here's what I would ask you all to consider today. What state have you left your relationships in? Have you parted from your friends and loved ones in such a way that if it is the last time you see them on this earth, you'll be blessed by the memory of that last meeting? Will they be blessed by you from this meeting, should it be the last? I'm not saying conflict won't happen, because it will. But do we handle our conflicts in such a way that we can walk away at the end and be at peace? In other words, are we relying on God during our conflicts? Are we relying on God during our casual interactions? You never know when something you say or do will discourage instead of encourage your friends. We need to be relying on God through all our interactions so we can look back and know that God was there and we acted for Him. There will be times when we are called to rebuke our dear ones as well. That is one of the most critical times to rely on God. I would never want to walk away from a conversation like that to have it be the last conversation I had with someone, and know that I had sinned because I rebuked them by relying on myself and saying what I wanted to say instead of relying on God. It shouldn't be about being right, but about directing them back to God and His word for truth. So today, take stock. Ask yourself, what kind of a friend are you? Are you a Jonathan who comes alongside to encourage and to exhort and to rebuke when necessary? Or are you the kind of friend who is just standing there waiting for your friend to fall so that you can say, I told you so, so that you can be right?
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.